Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned into Kings of Non Sequitur. Any topic, any subject, anything goes. With your hosts, Jay and Dre.
Well, Dre says he can hear me. We're going to try to get him in here to the show. It's an interesting night. We can't hear each other, but somebody's being heard. So right now, I guess it's me. I'm Jay. It's in much less detail, the podcast. It's March 19th, 2024. Dre says he can hear me, so I'm just going to go with it. We're doing our March Madness, March Badness preview show, waiting for Jay to Dre. Oh, I'm Jay. It's late, folks. Waiting for Dre to get in the show here so we can get our March Madness picks in on the record. We missed it last year, and we're back. Sorry, I'm a little out of sorts tonight with some audio difficulties here. Waiting for Dre. This is not usually the most detail that you're going to get on a show, especially from me tonight. Dre is our more resident college basketball expert, so I'm hoping he gets in the show here soon. And we can get this thing rolling. I filled out my bracket tonight. Did not watch much college basketball, but this is the fun of this is everybody gets to fill out a bracket. Everybody gets to claim geniusness. I only fill out one. I'm not one of these guys who's going to have 45, 50 brackets so that I can pull out one of them and say how smart I am. I have one bracket. Me and Dre, we go head-to-head on this. Very low stakes. Although I do seem to have the edge as long as we've been running this show over the years, to the frustration of Dre, who definitely watches and puts a lot more time into his college basketball than I do. Hoping to get him on the air here soon. He's texted me. He got me in before the show started, and I could hear him. And then now I can't hear him. So I don't know if he's there, but he definitely says he hears me. He's telling me to filibuster until he can figure out his issues and he can get connected to the show here. I've got my bracket all filled out. A few upsets, lots of favorites, not all chalk. Hey, there you are.
Yeah, I'm on the phone. I don't know what's going on with the mic. It's not working, so I'm going to have to do this old school stuff.
That's very odd because I was having some mic issues of my own at the beginning, and I was able to disconnect, and then I had to unplug and reconnect my headset, and then everything connected to the show. And I could hear you before the show started, but you couldn't hear me. And then something switched, and I logged back in, and I couldn't hear you.
Crazy. That Blog Talk Radio issues, folks. It's something we're used to.
We were running pretty clean there for a while, so we were due.
All right. I don't know if I sound better on speaker or if I should go back to what I was doing before.
I can't tell a difference.
Okay. Well, I got the double voice thing going in my earphones. So as long as you're not hearing double, I guess we'll just continue the way we're going now.
No, I hear you. I mean, as clear as I can hear you for a phone connection.
Mm-hmm.
I can definitely hear you.
All right. We shall proceed then. As I was trying to say in the opening, our busted brackets is back. We, like you said, we took a year off, and now we're back doing what we have done for many years before, which is make our bracket picks, which are usually either terrible or awesome. There seems to never be an in-between. But we'll see who has the awesome bracket this year. Usually it's you, like you said. It's all the research that I do somehow does not work out, and usually you wind up having a better bracket than me. So I'll say one thing. This show will be a lot less verbose from me than other shows. I don't have all those copious notes that I've had before, because why? What's the point? You always beat me anyway.
Yes, you could. This is the beauty of the March Madness, right? Is that you can everybody is equal in the eyes of the bracket lords, because everybody gets to fill out a bracket, office pools, all that. People who watch college basketball, people who don't, and almost guaranteed that by the end of Saturday or Sunday, it's all blown up anyways.
Equal for anybody. You can be someone who never watches the games, your favorite school is your team that you go with, and that school happens to be making a big run. Your favorite color is purple, so you take Northwestern to go very far, and that winds up working. It doesn't matter. All the work you can do, all the research, it all comes down to sometimes the bounce of a ball goes the wrong way. There's any number of ways that it can go where the team that you thought was the best doesn't necessarily go farther than the team.
Right.
That you can see on the court that they're better, but because the other team gets hot at the right time, then that resolves that situation. And sometimes the best team doesn't win.
Right, and anything can happen in a single elimination tournament like this. You could have an injury. You could have a team that gets hot going in, and how do you identify that? Somebody runs through a conference tournament and picks up some confidence, and now they're in the big dance and they're a low seed, and then they just go on one of these little mini runs. But in most years, by the time you get to the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight, most of those Cinderella stories are gone.
Well, if you got sports opinions, no matter what the sport is, as we know, somebody always has something to say about it, and that's Lou in Jersey. What's going on, Lou?
Hey, thanks, fellas. Yeah, you're right. I mean, even if you do get one of those so-called Cinderella teams, they don't really go that far. I mean, we had, St. Peter's and Fred Dickinson made a mini run to the Elite Eight not that long ago, but it's very rare to see, get that far. Mostly if they get, the upset win, they're gone by the second round. So it doesn't hold, for very long. But it's nice to get your 15 seconds of fame.
It's rare, but I'm tormented by me and Jay are from Chicago, so I'm just tortured by that run that Loyola had a couple of years ago because Jay was all over for some reason.
Right.
I was. I had them going, at least round of 32, maybe Sweet 16. I think I had Sweet 16.
Mm-hmm.
You might have had them in the Elite Eight, and they wound up going to the damn Final Four. I still can't believe it.
I think I won that year.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So there's Cinderellas, but
Sister
some
Jean,
go much
man,
farther
Sister
than
Jean?
Others. Oh,
yeah.
Jesus. You're going to make me say something bad about a very old lady, and I don't want to do that.
No.
I'm already going to hell. So who do you like in the field, Lou? Who's your top dog from all the top teams, and who's your Cinderella that you like?
Well, my top team has got to be UConn. I mean, that's close enough. I have Yale as an underdog. They pulled off the Ivy Conference League in dramatic fashion. I think they got some momentum going here. But what really disappoints me is how the Big East, got pretty much, cheated this year. I mean, three good teams that should have been in did not make it. Two of them from my area, St. John's and Seton Hall, they could have got in. I don't think it was fair that they didn't get in. They had a great season. They were starting to make strides. Okay, Seton Hall did lose a bit of a step when they lost to Creighton and kind of fell apart from there, but they still made a decent run. I mean, these ranking systems, like from the computer, like the BPI, or what they call it, that's got to go, because that I don't think that ranking system is legit whatsoever. Even Coach Pitino said, get rid of it.
Of course, because his team didn't make it in.
I think he's got a point, though. You know, they
had just what are you going by, though? If you do that, then are we going back to just relying on the eyes of the voters, of the AP poll or the coaches' polls? I think those are much more unreliable than the ranking systems.
I go by the AP poll. I always have. I think that's most legit.
I guess I'm more of a stats guy or a analytics guy as I get older. I don't like going by polls, because that's just – there's so much bias involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
But Yale looks like the Cinderella pig. If they go far, I'll definitely remember you, Lou.
And some I want to forget. Yeah, because this is the time of year where, where everybody's got different opinions. They're like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. And you got all kinds of gripings and everything and whatnot. Oh, boy. I'll be discussing that, though, on my show this weekend on Saturday, 4 to 6 p.m. on the East Coast. I think it's 3 to 5 for you, so we'll discuss that. The opening day of baseball, which begins on Thursday, although not here in the States, but there is a game. And NHL, and I'll even cover the preview of that other football league that I will not mention by name, but you get the idea. So if you got time between 4 and 6 p.m. Eastern time, 3 to 5 in my area, your area that is, call 512-543-4662. Once again, call 512-543-4662. And if you want to hear from previous shows, go to YouTube and type in the name of the show, The Enhanced Sports Show. That's how you'll find me. You will not find me on Blog Talk whatsoever.
All right, there you have it. Lou and Jersey, thanks
keep
a lot.
Keep that in mind. All right.
The one and only Lou and Jersey. Maybe he's got a point. There's a couple points he's got there. Maybe we should be, as you already suggested, Jade, maybe we should be looking to YouTube to sort of take care of a different end of these podcasts, because Blog Talk Radio seems to be a little unreliable.
Well, yeah, and we could probably upload shows to YouTube as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually not hard to do. I mean, if that's something that we want to do, and we've got hundreds of shows
we do
that we could go back and start putting in there, even if we just go back and put in, Halls of Infamy and best of stuff, because I don't know how many people are going to go back and listen to the, week 8 recap from 2015. But
right, the vast majority of all those shows are like week previews and from 8-9 years ago. Yeah, that probably doesn't really hold up.
So yeah, for the season coming up, that's something that we could very, very easily get into, because it's not hard to export the show, even still using Blog Talk Radio. It's not hard to export the show out and then upload audio and. You don't really have many as far. We don't do a video show. But
Lord, nobody wants to see that.
No, nobody would know. But we could definitely put some graphics over, that way and do that. And that wouldn't be very hard to do.
And Lou plugging his show and giving out the phone number of a show that's not currently on the air at the moment. Reminds me that he's given out his number more than we've given out our number on our own show, so I should do that.
Well,
anyone listening live is the only way you're listening live, of course, is the website blogtalkradio.com/inmuchlessdetail. And if you're doing that, then the phone number is right there for you. That's how Lou calls in, because he sees the number right there on the screen. But for shits and giggles, because we're giving out phone numbers, if you ever want to call in, our number is always, has been since the beginning of the show, has been area code 646-595-4534. That's actually how I'm doing the show right now, because unfortunately I can't be heard on my own damn microphone, because Blog Talk Radio is, as I said, very unreliable.
I was a little worried at the start, And the only thing that reset for me was unplugging my headset completely. Because I have
I
a wireless.
I cannot do that because I'm the host. And I think if I did that, that would be the end of the show.
Yeah, I have a wireless headset. So I just, you know, pull the dongle and then put it back in and then let my computer re-detect everything. And it worked like a charm. So then I was able to hear everything. So I think the trick for me, because since the last show, I don't think I actually ever took the little USB part out. And normally I do. So for after this show, that will be popped out again.
Okay.
Little tech tip.
So any comments that anyone has to the show, by the way, can be sent to inmuchlessdetail@gmail.com. I'm not going to play the whole two-minute plug because we've got a lot to get to. We've got all our picks to get to and now 44 minutes to do it. But, again, we'll get through it just fine because I'm not giving more than like a sentence or two about any of these games because I don't have all those notes. Again, what's the point?
All I know is I hope Yale does not win in that first round because I've got Auburn coming out in that first round, so I don't want Yale. No Yale.
From there, let's find out the rest of our picks. Let's get it on for those who are listening for that purpose. I have stolen the format for doing these brackets on the podcast from Tony Kornheiser. I've been very upfront from the first show that we ever did that I stole the way to do this from Tony Kornheiser because I like the way he does it. First round, he wants your upsets only because he'll just assume that you've got the top seeds in the first round after that. So there's no reason to go down game by game in the first round or so many games. So let's start in the left upper bracket in the East.
Yeah.
Jay, any upsets in the first round in the East?
I have two. Not many. Actually, you're going to find for most of my brackets, it's two or three. I'm not going crazy this year. When I looked at it and I looked at the metrics, I looked at the little blurbs that the different sites give you as far as the opposing teams and how they match up and what they do well and what they don't do well. And I only came up with two upsets here in the first bracket here in the East. That would be number 9, which is not an upset, Northwestern, because a 9-8 to me is not really an upset. But I still have it. And I've got number 10, Drake, as my other upset, which seems to be a very popular upset when you look at some of the sites where they're actually getting on CBS. I see that Drake is actually listed as a 55% pick right now. So that seems to be a popular upset. So those are my two.
I could pull up the spreads. I bet they're favored too. There's quite a few teams that have lower seeds that are – that should be underdogs, but because the early money already says, yeah, they're going to win. and the sportsbooks have already made them favorites in some of those games. So since we are ostensibly a gambling podcast, I guess I'll go ahead and do that and pull up these spreads. Again, I'm not going to read them all. But you were – which one was that? You said Drake. By the way, that's one of my upsets too. So
all right.
It is very popular. Indeed.
Got it. Drake and Northwestern, so the 9 and the 10. Those are the only ones I had in that top bracket.
The 10 seed, Drake, is a minus 1.5 favorite at the moment.
So that is not an upset.
No. If the team is favored, then by definition it can't be an upset, can it? However, by seed, it is definitely an upset. I also have two upsets in the East, and I gave away that's one of them, Drake over Washington State. I don't have a bunch of notes, but I did do a lot of gambling on college basketball this year. Drake covered a lot of spreads. They won a lot of games. They got a top scorer in Tucker DeVries. I like them, too. A lot of people like them, and I like them, too. And obviously, they're favorites, so a lot of people like them. Most people like them. And my other upset is the 12 UAB over San Diego State. Of course, 12-5, you got to love those.
Yeah.
Pretty evenly matched game. UAB, I got some personal experience from some of these games, watching them. And UAB came in here to Memphis a couple weeks ago. One of the strangest games I've ever seen. UAB was beating the snot out of Memphis. They were leading them at the half. I want to say it was like 61-39 or something like that. They were just destroying the Memphis Tigers. And Memphis, as they are wont to do, decided to, as inconsistent as they can be, just flip the script and came out in the second half. They had totally erased that lead by in like the first 4 minutes of the second half, and then went on to blow out UAB. They outscored by like 40 in the second half. It was one of the strangest games I've ever seen. So I got the experience of seeing UAB completely crumble, but I'm still taking them over San Diego State because I guess I still have that experience of seeing how great they could be in building that lead and taking it to Memphis in their house in the first half. Now, they couldn't put it away, but it was still an impressive outing seeing them put it together. So that left an impression. So I'll take UAB in an upset. A lot of these picks that I'm making is I happen to see a team once or twice, and they made a great impression on me, and that's why I'm going. And, you know, you fall in love with teams. It happens.
I can definitely say in years past where I had more access to watch college basketball, especially when it would get to conference championships, and I just happened to catch a team, and, oh, they look good, and it would definitely inform my picks. This year I did not watch much, if at all, or any college basketball, so this one really is one of the most blind years I've had. So if people are looking for expert knowledge from me and filling out a bracket, all I did was crunch numbers and look at matchups on this one, so... We'll see how that goes for checking your boxes.
Well, there you go. And my expertise is actually watching the games. Again, I didn't take a bunch of notes, but I did watch a whole lot of games. I probably watched as much basketball this year as I have in years past. So we'll see how it all works out. Okay. I have your upset picks charted, and so we move on from there to the second round games, and for those, I do go game by game, but it kind of doesn't matter with you because your answer is going to be, I got this team just because. So we'll do it anyway.
In a lot of cases, yeah. Usually there was something in the matchup or in the stats that I looked at that would help me there, but I'm not going to be able to tell you about some dynamic score or anything beyond just what I've read in a blurb.
All right. For the second round in Brooklyn, UConn for you versus Northwestern.
I have UConn advancing there. They're the top seed in the tournament for a reason. And I have them moving on.
All right. And I've got UConn against Florida Atlantic, and I also have UConn moving on, just too talented there.
That means you have UAB against Auburn.
I do. Auburn is deeper than UAB, so that one in Spokane, Washington, I will take Auburn to move on. You have Auburn against San Diego State.
Yes, we both have Auburn moving on. So we both have the same 1-4 matchup at the top of the East.
Okay. In the bottom half of the East, we both have BYU taking on Illinois in Omaha.
We do. I took BYU in this matchup.
Why am I not surprised?
Well, you got to start eliminating top Big Ten teams as soon as you possibly can.
That's why I'm not surprised.
But their defense stinks by any metric. For everything that I could look up, Illinois, if they are going to be done in here in the tournament, it is going to be because they are a bottom tier defensive squad. And I have them losing here in the second round.
All right. I think Illinois is too athletic for BYU. I think they're going to beat them despite their lack of defense.
Okay.
And then we both have Drake taking on Iowa State in Omaha.
And I have Drake advancing here.
Ooh.
You got to get a low seed somewhere that runs through. And they play good defense. Actually, some of the some of the best defense, and they shoot well. So
that's a big upset.
I'm going to take it. I have that 10 seed moving on, and you have Drake and Iowa State. I'm guessing you have Iowa State as well.
Drake is on a roll, and I also have him taking out Iowa State.
Oh, okay. So that's where the reaction came from. Was
yeah,
thought you had me on one, and okay.
As I should learn by now. As usual, when I think I got you, you're right there with me.
We've been doing these for a very long time. And
if you're new to the show, folks, best friends since '82.
But we have not. This is the first we know of anything to do with each other's brackets.
Oh yeah, we haven't talked about this at all.
Right.
So,
wow.
In the Sweet 16 in the East in Boston, UConn versus Auburn is what we both have.
Yeah, for both of us, and I have Auburn moving
Whoa.
On here. Yeah, I'm saying Auburn knocks off the number one seed. That elite defense moves on. Defense wins championships sometimes, and I'm going to take Auburn here to catch UConn at a bad moment and move on to the Elite Eight.
UConn-Auburn is a lock to be over. I don't know about a whole lot of over-unders, but I think that's definitely going to be a wild one. I think UConn can handle Auburn. They're, you know, set up for that, the defending champs, so I'm not going to go down the same road as you there. I'm taking UConn.
Oh, okay. So you have UConn, I have Auburn. At the bottom, I have BYU against Drake, and I'm just going to keep rolling Drake to the Elite Eight.
Wow, that's a Cinderella. I don't have Drake, of course.
You don't
against,
have them against
Illinois? Nah, can't do it. I think Illinois ends Drake's run right there. They're the talented team, and I have them moving on against UConn. So our Elite Eight games are definitely different.
Yes.
Auburn versus Drake for you, who of those two
unusual
teams wins the East?
I'm sending Auburn. I'm sending the 4 seed to the Final Four.
All right. I like the Auburn Tigers, too. They running up against UConn is a bad draw for them, I think. But I do like Auburn. I do like Bruce Pearl a lot. My matchup is UConn versus Illinois.
Illinois. Now, wait a minute. You had Illinois winning the whole thing a few years ago.
That didn't work out for me.
It did not work out for you. So, where are you here?
UConn has the class and experience to
okay.
end the Illinois run here. I'm taking the defending champs to make the Final Four again.
Okay. So, you chalked your way through the East.
I did, the number one seed.
Did they deserve it?
Absolutely. The East champ will take on the West champ. So let's go down in the bracket underneath the East to the West. Any first-round upsets for you in the West?
I have two.
<All right.
laughs> It seems this is going to be a common theme for me. I think it's, I think it's a lot of twos. I don't know. There might be one where I have three, but so far it's two. I have number 11, New Mexico, winning out over Clemson, and number 10, Nevada, raining threes on Dayton.
Yeah, Dayton's used to raining threes on everybody, so that would be a twist.
I expect that to be a high-scoring game.
I do, too. I only have one upset in the West.
Wow.
And it's neither of those games. My upset's going to be number 11, New Mexico, taking out the number 60, Clemson.
Yeah. Okay. I had New Mexico.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I had New Mexico and Nevada. Those were my two.
All right, got it. So that's my only one, and it's along with you. Clemson's stumbling lately. New Mexico heats up to win the Mountain West Conference tournament. I think they can take down Clemson, and you think so, too. So from there, the top of the West, in the second round, we both have in Charlotte, which is very unfair, North Carolina taking on Mississippi State, basically hosting Mississippi State.
No, I have North Carolina here. moving on. So that one was easy.
Yep, I definitely concur with that. Then we both have the 5-4 St. Mary's versus Alabama in Spokane.
I went with Alabama here. Usually, I a lot of times will lean defense, but Alabama is one of the top scoring teams in the country and played one of the toughest schedules in the country. I think they're tested here. I'll take Alabama.
Yep, I agree. They're too fast for St. Mary's. Down in Memphis, we both have New Mexico pulling the upset on Clemson and getting to take on Baylor.
Yeah. I'm going to take New Mexico here. I have New Mexico as an 11 seed here, moving on against the 3-seed Baylor to the Sweet 16.
I concur.
Oh.
Yeah, they're a little tougher inside than Baylor. I'm gonna concur and take the Lobos.
All right, and then I've got Arizona advancing past Nevada. So that 10 seed upset in the first round, that ends quickly. I have Arizona moving on here.
That game in Salt Lake City, I have them taking on Dayton, and I also have Arizona advancing, much too tough inside for Dayton. So, the Sweet 16 out in L.A., we both have the same matchups. So, do we have the same results? Do you have the Tar Heels of North Carolina or the Crimson Tide of Alabama?
I'm rolling with the Tide here. I'm going Alabama to upset the number one seed North Carolina to move to the Elite Eight.
We're both rolling with the Tide.
Roll Tide, huh?
Roll Tide. You'll very rarely hear me say that.
In basketball, it's okay.
Anything at all to make you say Alabama's going to take down the top seed Carolina?
You know, when I looked at it, let me see here. I'm trying to read through any of the notes that I had here. I looked at the strength of that Alabama squad more than anything else, and just not knowing a lot about North Carolina this year.
Yep.
But looking at what Alabama does and what Alabama does really well, they are, you know, top of the country or close to the top of the country in so many categories. Very similar to my Auburn. When I looked at Auburn, how good they are at everything, but I'm like, man, okay, so did they just have stumbles during the regular season? Because for what their rankings are, then what their efficiency is for the season, it doesn't seem to match up with where their seed is. And I have a feeling that Alabama's a better squad than people are giving them credit for, just at the numbers.
Yeah, they're, I think, a popular pick to go pretty far. I don't know how many people have them knocking off Carolina like we do, but, yeah, Alabama's speed, man. They are fast. You got what the stats say and the metrics watching them. On paper, and I've got watching them on TV, actually watching the games, and, man, they are fast. I think they can get the best of UNC, and UNC's not slow. Carolina's not a slow team, but Alabama's so damn fast. They're just not as fast as the Tide, so I think that's going to be a track meet, and I think the Tide come out on top.
And here's the other thing that we didn't talk about, because different sites have different stats, so when I switch over to a different site and I look at Alabama, Yahoo doesn't show you strength of schedule first in the nation for Alabama.
Yeah.
Strength of schedule. So they played the hardest schedule in the country.
They are definitely battle-tested. There's a good reason a lot of people like them. So down at the bottom of that, we both have the upset-minded New Mexico Lobos against the Arizona Wildcats. Who you got in that?
I do not have them pulling a Drake here. I have Arizona going into an Elite Eight matchup against Alabama.
So do I. Arizona's level of ballers just too much for the Lobos. So we have the exact same Sweet 16 and the exact same Elite Eight matchup. Do you have Alabama or Arizona winning the West?
I have Arizona going on to play Auburn in the Final Four.
I decided to just go all the way with the Tide. Alabama out-hustles Arizona
wow.
to spring the upset and win
nice.
The Western
Alabama.
Conference. The
so,
Western
you, so I've got the four coming out of the East, and you have the four coming out of the West.
That's right, and we're both out of the same state with those upset picks. So
wow.
There you
so
go.
Maybe it'll end up being Auburn against Alabama, and that would
that
really,
would
really put us head-to-head if we get two fours fighting it out. So that, we've had years like that.
Yeah. There's some wildness. We've sat up there watching some of those wildness, you know, some of those games when I come in for the baseball draft. Because usually the baseball draft is during the Final Four, and this year it's because the baseball season is starting so early. The,
right.
I'll be up there in Chicago with you for the draft
Sweet
next
16.
Weekend during the Sweet 16. So either way, I'm sure we'll get to see some of those games after we do the baseball draft.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yep, with your family this time.
Yes, that's the plan.
Okay. All right, we will migrate across the bracket and go back up to the South. Any first-round upsets in the South region for you?
I have one.
All right.
Which is funny because when I made the pick, I'm double-checking here, one, and it's the play-in winner, the number 10 seed, beating Florida. I read so many bad things about Florida that I didn't care which play-in team won. I'm taking the play-in game winner, which maybe we know who that is now.
I think that game was still going when the show started.
Okay, yeah, I don't see, what was it, Boise? Because now that I just checked
on
the box, it says that it's Boise. Either way, I'm taking Florida to lose, and that's the only upset I have out of the South.
Wow, okay.
And no, I don't have Wisconsin losing in the first round.
Which means they're going to lose in the first round.
Which means they're going to lose in the first round.
I have three upsets in the
Ooh.
First round, which is a lot, but not really. I mean, it could be, you know, five or six. We've seen years,
sure.
you know, like five or six of them lose in the first round. So I have three. And indeed, Wisconsin losing to James Madison
yep.
is one of those upsets.
It would be perfect for them.
It would. It's another 12 over 5. That's 31 wins. I just think they got heart. They got enough heart to take out Wisconsin. And like you say, Big Ten teams, they lack heart and they get
you
knocked
out. You want to fade the Big Ten and NCAAs usually as fast as you possibly can.
I think that's how you beat me pretty much all these years. It's just fade the Big Ten. I think that's about all you've done, and that's all you need to do.
I've won these against you just doing that.
Just doing that, absolutely. That's one of my upsets. North Carolina State, the 11 over the 6 Texas Tech.
Yeah.
NC State is damn good. They handled UNC to win the ACC tourney, and it was one of those where the score didn't indicate, you know, because I watched the game, I watched that final, and NC State just handled the Tar Heels. That score was not nearly as much of a blowout as you know, the score indicated a closer game than it was. It was not really that close. So I like the Wolfpack. Watching them early in the year, I liked them. So I liked them over Texas Tech. And I also like whoever the hell the 10 seed is to take out Florida. I'm also fading Florida big time. They don't do it for me. They just don't do it. They're just a med team in the middle of the SEC. I watched them. That's one of those teams, you watch them two and three times, and they don't leave any impression on you. I watched them, and I still don't remember anything about them because they're just meh. They're just mid. So, yeah, I'm with you. I don't have any respect for Florida. So whoever the hell the 10 seed is to beat Florida.
All right.
I'm
so we've both got a play-in game winner, and then you have two other upsets. Oh, interesting. So, however, though, Houston and Nebraska, we both have.
Yep, the 1-8 here in Memphis, that's
yep.
going to be – That Houston game where they destroyed the 16 seed Longwood here in Memphis, that's going to be wild just because, again, I'm going to be out there at those games, working those games for Sports Info Solutions. That game Friday night is the last game. That's the very last game out of the four. Those Houston fans, Houston has a huge history with Memphis. They used to be in the same conference. Houston left. Bitter enemies. Houston got the better of Memphis a lot. So those fans, they're familiar here. They're going to be drunk. They're going to be all day getting sauced up, waiting and ready for their number one seed to come out and just beat the living snot out of this Longwood team Friday night. So that's not even going to be a contest.
Yeah.
So Sunday, when they come back and play Nebraska, what do you see happening there?
I have had a soft spot for Houston for the last several years. When we've done these, I'm rolling with Houston here. Another chance to knock off another Big Ten opponent. So definitely taking Houston here. They're good at everything. 6-2 this season against top 25, 5-1 it says, but truly 6-2 against top 25 opponents. I mean, Houston is they're a really good squad, and they've got some seniors on this team too, so they've got the experience. They've got the guys who weren't good enough to go to the NBA, but they're really good enough to dominate college. And I'll take Houston here over Nebraska.
Yeah, I definitely concur with that. Houston, much the best. That shouldn't even count as beating a Big Ten team because there's nothing about Nebraska that says Big Ten. I'm sorry. For those of us old enough to remember.
No,
Nebraska has nothing to do with the Big Ten.
They have been for a while now. And you've got an interesting James Madison Duke matchup here.
Dukes versus Duke in Brooklyn. I've got Duke moving on. I think Duke gets a fight from James Madison. They've won a ton of games. They know how to win. So I think they're going to give Duke all they can handle, but I got Duke hanging on and winning that.
Well, we both have Duke moving on here against whichever opponent they face, setting up the same matchup at the top of the South. You have an NC State Kentucky matchup on tap here.
I do. Kentucky cuts off the Wolfpack in Pittsburgh. Wolfpack gets one game, but I think that's. That's a tough draw. I like NC State a lot. I think they're very mentally and physically tough, but I think drawing Kentucky is tough for them.
For whatever reason, you can put this up with the WAB just because. I have Texas Tech going on here in that 6-3 matchup. I'm really not wanting NC State because I've got Texas Tech winning a second round matchup here.
No kidding. So that brings us to the random blind number 10 seed, whoever it winds up being.
I have Marquette moving on here against the Randos squad.
Against the... number 10, whoever that is, in Indianapolis.
Yes.
I think whoever, either one of those teams, I think they can hold off Marquette. I respect Marquette. I like them, but they don't strike me as one of those teams that, you know, the two seed is pretty high. And Marquette is one of those teams that always strikes me, and maybe I'm being biased and remembering too much in my old age, but like Cincinnati, UCLA, a few other schools, they're much, much better always at home than they are anywhere else. And there's such a tough home court advantage up there in Milwaukee for Marquette, but they're just not the same team. They've never been. It's going all the way back to Dwayne Wade, even before that. Just they're not the same and on neutral courts or on the road. So I'm going to take whoever the Tennessee winds up being. Boise or Colorado to take down Marquette.
Okay, so the one that we agree on is Houston and Duke. I have Houston over Duke going to the Final Four.
They're going to the Elite Eight.
Elite Eight.
That's in the South Region Regional in Dallas. That's not fair either to have Houston down there with a home court advantage in Texas. I also have them taking out Duke. I think they're too physical for Duke. And I'm not surprised you have them. You, like you said, you've been on the Cougars for quite a while.
Yeah. No, I've had them for several years here. And I think the 1 year I picked them, I didn't pick them, they won.
Right. So we have totally different matchups on the bottom of that bracket. So I'll let you go ahead with Texas Tech versus
Texas
Marquette.
Texas Tech and Marquette. Well, what are you pegged Marquette right. You just pegged them right, I think, one round too soon. Marquette struggled mightily against top teams, anybody in the top 25. They had a 4-4 record. Most of the wins they had were against who you'd expect, like Illinois, you know, like your Big Ten type teams. Yeah. Taking Texas Tech here, 22nd ranked team in the nation, to upset Marquette here and set up their matchup with Houston. So two Houston, two Texas squads in Dallas. Come on.
That'd be something. Yeah, we're Marquette haters for anybody listening up there. We both got them struggling. I played the draw, by the way, and it didn't work. So Blog Talk Radio is obviously not having the best night.
They're not having, so yeah. It's okay. We're still on the air.
We think.
Right. After I had, well, Lou heard us. He called in. He knew.
He might not be listening. He might have just saw the show was on and called
in.
Oh,
that's true. Okay. He got an alert or something, you know. But
Lou's on his own world, you know.
I have Houston against Texas Tech. Mm-hmm. To go to the Final Four, and I gave it away. I have Houston in the Final Four.
Yeah, you already.
It's late.
You had Houston moving forward. That's fine. So I got Houston against Kentucky. Kentucky, as usual, under John Calipari, playing outstanding basketball as they gel, as the season goes on. They always look like they're bumbling around and don't know each other's name in the first half of the season, and then by the time March rolls around, like, oh, look at the Wildcats. Wow, they're really putting it together. I think they take down Houston. I think they're gelling at just the right time, and I have the Kentucky Wildcats winning the South region.
Okay. That's not a team I gave a lot of run to here. I have them losing in the second round.
Yeah. I really hope you're wrong about that.
All right. So you've got
down below that.
Kentucky set to face
the
Midwest
Kentucky. That's right. Below that in the Midwest region, any first-round upsets in the Midwest?
I have three.
Okay.
I have three. I have now number nine again. I hate to call them a big upset, but I have number nine TCU over Utah State. I'm going 12-5 here with McNeese State over Gonzaga. And
wow.
Number 13, Sanford over Kansas.
Whew.
Those are my three.
Yeah, I tell you, Kansas is, they're also struggling. McNeese over Gonzaga,
McNeese over George, Gonzaga. I love Booten Gonzaga as much as I love Booten the Big Ten teams here. So I'm giving a spot here to McNeese. We used to call McNeese State. I guess they're not bad anymore. Are they just McNeese now? Like Memphis, did they lose the state?
Exactly. They just dropped the state.
Yeah. Hey, but you get your coach suspended and he comes back from suspension for cheating and violating shit. And now it turns out he's a good coach and he's got McNeese rolling. 28-3 record this year.
And neither one of us picked Long Beach State over in the West, who fired their coach before their conference tournament started. And the coach said, okay, fine, let's stick it up your ass and wins the whole conference and goes on to the big dance and makes them look like idiots. So. But yeah, McNeese, they put together quite the season, 30-3. I couldn't take them. I couldn't do it. This is the chalkiest region for me. I have one upset, and it's also the 9 over the 8 TCU over Utah State. So I got the chalk winning every other game in the first round there.
Wow.
And I even think that's going to be a good game, TCU, Utah State, two real good shooting teams. Two high field goal percentages. I think TCU's defense will be the difference in that one. But, man, those are some Samford over Kansas. I'm assuming that's more about Kansas hate than Samford.
A little little bit, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know anything about
Stanford's one of these teams when you look at the numbers. I love these first-round teams that just rain threes.
Yeah.
And this is a 40% three-point shooting team. So you know how those teams can run in the big dance, right? They can either get hot and just, you know, death from above and just rain on it, or they'll lose by 40.
Well, yeah, or there'll be a brick fest and they can't get anything.
So that's where I came in on them. But it's not just that they have a lot of different players that do it. So, you know, get the ball into the hot hand and start draining some threes. Sometimes it's hard to put those teams away. So I'm setting up a 12-13 matchup. Isn't that fun?
Those are always fun. Especially if you actually predict it and you're the one that saw it coming.
If I have that one right out of all of them, I will gladly take it. Because otherwise, I think I'm fairly chalky the rest of this bracket. But that one was the fun one for me.
I was busy looking for the Utah State-TCU game. Since we both have 9/8, I was wondering if that's one where the 9 is actually the favorite. And indeed, TCU as a 9 seed is -4.5 against Utah State. So everybody is on that one.
Yeah, I see that TCU is also getting 58% on CBS, because that actually shows you the percentage of people who picked them.
Right.
My McNeese pick is only getting 23%, and Samford is only getting 18%.
Hey, go out on a limb. Hell, you're the one that had Loyola. What can I say? I can't possibly criticize any of your picks, right?
And those backdoor screens, they'll just kill you.
Moving on, in the round of 32, we both have Purdue taking on TCU.
Yeah, I'm trying to get Purdue out of this as fast as I can, but they are, so I'm gonna take Purdue here to move on into the next round, into the Sweet 16.
Yeah, definitely playing in Indy, definitely got them smothering TCU. All right, McNeese-Samford to go to the Sweet 16.
Catch the fever. I'm going McNeese State. Formerly McNeese State, to move on over Samford here.
All right.
And you've got Gonzaga in Kansas, so you've got the chalk here.
I got the chalky matchup. With the mild upset, the 5/4, I don't think anyone respects Kansas. I think all the injuries and all the lack of cohesion, I think everyone's got Kansas going out pretty early. Not as early as you do with Samford. But I got Gonzaga taking advantage of a hurt Jayhawk squad and taking them down and going to the Sweet 16. From there, we both have South Carolina taking on Creighton in Pittsburgh.
I'm taking South Carolina over the 3-seed Creighton.
Okay, I really considered it, but I can't. See, I think Creighton's going to just outshoot South Carolina, just, like you said, bombs away, death from above.
Yeah,
South Carolina's tough, man. I really like watching them all year. They're very entertaining. But I got Creighton to win that one. And then Texas versus Tennessee in Charlotte.
I've got Tennessee here. So the 2-seed, I've got the 1 and the 2 seeds both advancing in the Midwest so far.
All right, I concur. Tennessee, no match for Texas. Now we move on to Detroit for the Sweet 16. Purdue, for you, is taking on the Cinderella McNeese.
Yes. No, it ends here. I'm taking Purdue. Yeah, it ends here for me.
It's a big 10. You got to have McNeese going on.
No, I don't have it. I don't have them upsetting Purdue. I bite my tongue. I have a Big Ten team in the Elite Eight.
Wow. That's an upset right there. I concur. I also have Purdue overpowering Gonzaga and moving on to the Elite Eight.
Ah, and I have Tennessee over the 6-seed South Carolina. You have Tennessee against Creighton.
I have Tennessee over the 3-seed Creighton. Tennessee talent too much for the Creighton Blue Jays.
Wow, so we both have a 1-2 matchup in the Midwest. That's That's fun.
But,
however,
a Big Ten team, so I'd have to assume that you're taking the 2-seed Tennessee to advance.
That is correct. I have the Tennessee Volunteers moving to the Final Four to face Houston.
Are you ever going to put a Big Ten team in the Final Four as long as we do these things?
Only if it's Michigan State. Michigan State is exempt from my Big Ten rule.
Ah, you know what? Fair enough. They've earned it. All the championships that they've won over the years.
Yes. It's the only team that I have given the exemption or a pass to in the Big Ten is Michigan State.
Maybe you should make that, as long as Tom Izzo is coach there, that you should have that rule for them.
Oh, yes.
So our Final Four is set for Phoenix. On one side of the bracket, we have four different teams for all of these. So,
Do we both have Tennessee, or did you take Purdue?
I have Purdue. Did I?
Oh, okay.
That?
You did not. You assumed mine, but I did not know. So, yeah, we do not have any of the same teams
in
the Final Four. That's crazy.
Physically, I think Purdue's just better than Tennessee.
Even though
I have
a 1-2-2s and a 4.
And I know I've got at least 1-1.
We have Purdue, so you definitely have a 1.
But that's my only 1.
Wow.
So I'll let you have the floor for Auburn, Arizona on one side of the bracket.
Auburn, Arizona. I have the Auburn Tigers going to the finals.
You have a lot of respect for Auburn, huh?
I do. That's why I do not want Yale beating them in the first round.
Ooh. Boy, Lou is right about that. That might open up the bracket for me just by itself, that one game. I've become the biggest Yale fan all of a sudden now. On that side of the bracket, my matchup is UConn against Alabama. UConn, I think, adapts to the Alabama speed. I think they're smart enough and experienced enough. I think they'll outlast them. They can get worn out and worn down and get possibly set up for the title game, but I think they're going to find a way to beat Alabama in advance to the national title game.
All right, so you have UConn, and I have Auburn. Whew. And that means
on the other side
of
the bracket.
Yeah, I'll let you go first here on the other side.
Kentucky versus Purdue. Purdue's more disciplined. Kentucky, I think they're going to get taken apart slowly. It's not going to be a blowout, but like by the second half, Purdue will just figure out how to do it, how to take Kentucky out of their game, and they'll take them apart. And I got Purdue in the title game.
Man, wow. I have Houston and Tennessee, and I have Houston going to the finals to play Auburn.
That's your team, Houston. So I'll let you take the title game. Auburn versus Houston for all the marbles.
Contrary to what you might think, I have Auburn winning the title.
Over the Auburn Tigers going all the way and winning the whole thing.
Yes.
That's some balls.
Thank you.
So I've got UConn.
So makes this fun.
Which is not so ballsy because it's 2 number 1 seeds. But here's some balls. How about a Big Ten team knocking off the defending national champions?
Oh, no.
Zach Edey is undeniable. In his final year, he pulls it all together. Purdue wins over a tired UConn team. Purdue wins the national championship.
Purdue. Oh, that's almost as bad as calling Illinois a few years ago, but that's okay.
Oh.
So I need Purdue. I need to really root against Purdue hard. And
it's a Big Ten team, so you shouldn't have any problem rooting hard against Purdue. hate the Big Ten.
I try to fade the Big Ten as much as I possibly can. And yes, looking at it, I have no Big Ten teams in the Final Four.
Yeah, and I don't know when
Again.
You ever will.
Again.
Unless it's Michigan State.
Yeah, even those years when Wisconsin was really good, I'd have them exiting in the second round.
And normally you'd be right.
Yes.
So there it is, the March Madness preview. We always have a lot of fun with it. We may not have a lot of knowledge.
There's not a ton of depth.
Jay Billis is on this show, folks.
No, No, hey, I watched as much college basketball as I did top Oscar movies this year, and we had a good Oscar show.
Yeah, just stick with Oppenheimer. And you also had your crazy indie Japanese Godzilla movie that came through for the graphic Oscar.
Yeah, it won Best Special Effects, even though I didn't think it would. I think that was, like I said, I did call it. I did highly, highly recommend that movie. And I know I was looking at it here. Yes, because you like to give the Rotten Tomatoes scores for mm-hmm. those movies. Godzilla Minus One, just so you know, 98% critic score, 98% audience score.
Is that good?
It's that good.
Hmm.
So 98 and 98. I don't know how often you see that on the old Rotten Tomatoes, but yeah, the double 98s for that movie.
That's very rare.
Yes. That's why saying I had wished it had been put up for a more substantial award, but they opted to go for special effects, and they won.
And that makes it imminently more nominatable, is that a word, than the Leonard Bernstein movie.
Yeah.
With that low scores all around, critic and
we're pulling 50s.
That's not Oscar-worthy at all.
Best picture, pulling 50s.
But that's Netflix's thing. That's what they do. They make a movie that pulls a 50 fan score and a 70 critic score, and it gets nominated for an Oscar. That's their move. I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't know. It gets the buzz, right? It's a biopic, you know.
But it's not good, apparently.
And it didn't win, so we don't have to worry about it.
It never had a chance to win. I have a feeling it was 10th out of 10.
Might have been. We don't get to see the rankings. That would be even better.
Yeah, I want to see the rankings.
How many first place votes a movie got,
right.
How many second place votes, you know?
I want to see who finished dead fucking last in the Oscar.
EFL. Got no
That's
votes.
Right.
Hey, you called Emma Stone winning.
I did. It's just looked on the I got to see that movie now. But it just looked from the trailer.
Yeah,
like,
I'm sure.
Goodness.
To study.
Emma Stone's body double having sex all over the place. What's not to like about that?
So yeah, that was a solid. We had a solid Oscar show. And next week is baseball preview already.
I know.
I mean, and Lou correctly stated there are games this week, but we do not affect anything that we're doing off of a couple of international games.
No, that's something that's just going to happen tomorrow morning and the next morning, and they count for real, but
yes,
you know, for our purposes, they're not going to take a dent out of, you know, the predictions for the season. 160 games that we'll be looking at for the Dodgers and Padres instead of 162. That's the only difference.
Right. Yeah, these they count in the standings, but from previous experience seeing these Japan, when there were Japan games or whatnot, that they don't really play them and coach them as, you know, regular season games. You'll see a lot of, I think you'll see a lot of scrubs in the second game.
Yeah, you'll see some guys starting that won't necessarily get a lot of starts.
You'll see some guys off the bench getting some play in that second game, especially. You know, just coming off of a shorter spring for a lot of these teams, and you don't want to get anybody hurt. You know, weird situations, weird sleep patterns, all those things. Yeah, I don't anticipate these being classics.
Yeah, it throws me back, which is a story I probably have told before on the show, and if not, I've definitely told you years ago when it happened. But these out of context, out of sequence games to start the season overseas throws me back to my first go around with gambling back when it was offshore and sort of illegal and something you're not supposed to be doing, but I was doing it anyway. So, of course, these games being in Asia, starting at 4 or 5 in the morning,
yeah.
It reminds me, it throws me all the way back to when the Cubs played the Mets in one of those series in Japan.
Yeah.
And whatever the matchup was made me take some money, go to the currency exchange and send it off to Costa Rica or Cayman Islands or wherever the fuck, and put a good chunk of money down on the Cubs on, I think, the first game, either first or second game, I forget which one, listening to the game on the radio on my Walkman on my way to work because it's 6, 7 in the morning. And right before I go into the building that I worked at and lose my signal, it lasted just long enough for me to hear the Cubs lose their lead to the Mets on a grand slam by Benny Agbayani.
Oh, and my God.
They went on to lose that game and lose whatever money I'd put on them, and that might be a candidate one day for Hall of Infamy because I hold a grudge and will always hold a grudge for Benny Agbayani, who did absolutely nothing else with his major league career except fuck me up the ass in a game in Japan that was played 2 weeks before the actual season began.
And I'm pretty sure the Cubs won the second game.
Yes, because I didn't bet them.
Because you didn't bet them, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Benny Agbayani, there's a name from the Wayback Machine.
And that's the only reason he should ever be remembered. And you know how much it hurt me at the time putting money on the Cubs. I was also back
yeah.
in my 20s when I was, you know, in my full-throated Cub hate, Sox love mode, which is something that finally I grew out of. It's, you know, not healthy.
All Sox fans go through it. Most of them don't grow out of it, but all
yeah.
Sox fans go through it.
Yeah. So I swallowed my pride and bit my tongue and put cash on the Cubs, and they reward me by getting jacked by Benny Agbayani.
Well, before we go,
yes.
I would like your take on Justin Fields.
I figured you were going to ask me about that. Obviously, from the Chicago standpoint, from the organization standpoint, the idea that this kid would show enough promise in his three tortured star-crossed years in Chicago that he would turn a fan base that was mostly against him and turn a lot of them in favor of him. Like,
right.
It was never going to be 100% or anything like that, and nor should it have been. It's not like the kid was perfect or anything like that, but he showed enough to where I think most smart football observers and even Bears fans who aren't very smart by and large could see that with proper coaching, with proper organizational skills, with proper roster management, that this kid had a chance to be something. Like, he showed the promise that you draft a quarterback that high, they're not all going to be Cam Newton. They're not all going to come out of the gate and kick ass. And they're not going to be Peyton Manning. They're not going to be Eli Manning. But you want to see, you know, at least some promise, at least some hope. And finally, he was showing some hope. He was putting together some numbers rushing-wise that very few quarterbacks have ever done. And that's not for nothing, you know? So I think it was pretty obvious to me that the solution wasn't necessarily to throw him away after 3 years, especially considering the coaching that he had or lack of coaching. But if you're going to do that, if you're going to get rid of him and decide, oh, God, we fell in love with Caleb Williams, we have to draft him. After all this time, to finally throw him away for a sixth just made my head explode. Like, what
yeah.
the hell? You couldn't do any better than that?
It made no sense.
Oh. So that was my biggest takeaway is you blew it because I'm sure you could have done a lot better than that. Before all these quarterbacks made all these other moves and made all these took all these openings that were open when the rumors were that they were going to trade Justin Fields. Like, Atlanta got a guy, Minnesota lost that guy and turned around and got a guy. All these moves got made, and that took the market, whatever market was ever out there, that I'm sure was higher than a fucking six. It took that market and dried it up completely, and that's what you were left with. Like, you could cut him. If all you're going to get is a six, you could have just cut him at that point.
Yep.
And no matter how you slice it, to take a kid you drafted that high and 3 years later he's only worth a six is a complete organizational fail, and it's the Chicago Bears. It's the only thing I can do. I can shrug my shoulders and say, it's the Bears. That's what they do. Of course they screwed this up.
Only the Bears?
Only the Bears.
That's why I've been on record saying no matter what they did, it would be the wrong thing.
But this was really wrong.
Yeah, no, I didn't understand it. I mean, if you're going to just for a six, too, I mean, you could have held on to him and waited until there was an injury in camp or something. I mean, what are you going to do with that six? You know, draft a guy and cut him?
Pretty much.
So good for Justin Fields. He gets to go to a better organization, a better coach team. He gets to most likely play behind Russell Wilson for, I'm guessing, a year, maybe two. You know, and Russ is getting up there, so he could be an injury replacement. And I have a feeling going there with Arthur Smith there now, it's the guy he probably wanted in Atlanta. So.
Sure.
Makes sense. You know, if Arthur Smith hadn't been fired, did you have all these teams now sitting there going, well, all we had to do was offer a six for Justin Fields?
Right.
I guess all you can do is ask, right?
Right. It only takes one. It's just like the Cleveland Browns are the only team willing to give Deshaun Watson $250 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
All it takes is one.
So Pittsburgh gets him for basically nothing.
The only other small observation is you're going to put him back there as the backup. They already announced that he's not going to compete with Russell Wilson to start. I'm afraid of them stunting whatever growth that he did have because he showed a tendency in Chicago to start slow anyway. So to say you're not even going to get to start this season, you're just going to sit there. I don't know what they expect if they bring him in the middle of the year, but I don't think it's going to be very good because he seems to need to play to sort of get his legs under him, to get the speed of the game, and to sort of get into it. And some guys
like rhythm. He was a rhythm player.
Yeah, so that's another thing that I'm afraid it might not look so hot if they bring him in week eight and, you know, if he's cold for 3 weeks. That fan base in Pittsburgh isn't exactly forgiving either. They may not let him have too much of a recovery period. So, I don't like it. I didn't like it.
But you're also not going to bring in Russell Wilson and then bring in Fields for a six and go, yeah, it's an open competition.
Probably not, but if you did, what's Russell going to do?
Yeah, just shrug his shoulders.
Yeah. Steelers country, let's ride. That's all he's going to do. I figured you're going to ask about that.
I had to ask because we're not going to really talk about football till the draft for the most part. You know, next show is going to be baseball. And we did have this crazy football free agency frenzy with all these, players changing teams and everybody's got a new starting quarterback unless you're the Bills or the Chiefs, it seems like.
Everybody's got a new starting running back, too.
Yeah, the running back carousel and a quarterback carousel.
It was a lot. It's Saquon moving and Derrick Henry moving. Everybody decided
to get Derrick Henry going to the Ravens, of course, right?
Yeah, you love that one.
I did. I did.
You immediately texted me about the thunder and lightning of him and Keaton Mitchell.
Yeah, I don't know how banged up Mitchell is, how much time he's going to miss, if that's...
Yeah, that's an ACL, so he won't see him for a while.
So, but at some point, they're going to have some fun with that. You're going to have Lamar back there handing it off to Derrick Henry. I'm guessing Derrick Henry's going to have some holes to run through.
And he's going to be going to have some goal line situations to bust through.
Yeah, that's going to be a whole lot of fun. So that might rejuvenate him.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that being fun. And then if Keaton Mitchell comes back, you know, even halfway through the season, now you can start saving Henry for the playoff run, which I'm assuming they will go on.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, like I was saying, we're probably both going to be on the Ravens week one as a lock again.
Yeah, the 1 year that you went against me on that,
that didn't
work
out.
Didn't go well.
No.
So I said, I was texting you. I said, let's just start the locks competition week two.
This is going to be a push for
yeah.
week one.
Or at some point
Baltimore.
We just say, you know what, we can't lock up the Ravens are an automatic lock, so we have to pick somebody else.
I more than likely will pick somebody else again in week one just because it almost feels unfair to
it's
to pick
cheating.
Them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's also a gimme, so of course
yeah.
I do it.
Seems to be a gimme. If you're making investments out there, that seems to be the way to go. The Ravens week one, for sure.
Yeah, I got to find myself in a legal gambling state here at some point, so I can start putting those. As soon as that happens, they'll lose.
Of course.
But, yeah, I don't really have much else tonight. Nice quick show.
Yeah, I knew yeah. it was going to be fun because we don't have the, like I said, we don't have the Jay Billis bracket breakdown and the figures for every team and what their top ranking is and defensive efficiencies and all that.
Right.
So I knew it was going to be pretty quick and pretty fun. So it's a good time to get out and before my voice goes. And but it's been a lot going on for me leading up with the basketball coming up. They haven't got my ticket to me yet, so I'm still waiting on that.
Okay.
But I'm doing a lot of practicing with the practice games. I already know what role I have for the game. I know I'm doing the clock, which has assists and blocks and steals that goes along with that responsibility. And my partner will be the one taking care of points and rebounds and fouls and free throws and all that. So there's a lot of practicing trying to – I'm not good at the practice because I'm doing my practicing and I'm looking at the box score of the game that I'm practicing on afterwards. And I'm like, okay, I got this guy that has three assists and he actually only has two. I got this other guy with two steals and he actually had four. It's not going well. But I'm encouraged by the fact that they do not have an accuracy bonus for the basketball like they had for football. So, therefore, I see it this way. Fuck it. I'm going to go and have fun and do the best I can. And if it's totally jacked up, it's totally jacked up because I'm getting paid the same either way. So,
and you get
know,
to see, and you get to go to the tournament.
I get to go to the tournament for the first time ever. I've never been to the tournament. I'm doing four games in one day, which is going to be I'm looking forward to it. I'm sort of dreading it at the same time because I'm like, oh, my God, how tired am I going to be at the end of this?
It'll be
fun.
You know which four games you're getting?
Oh, in Memphis. Like I said, the Houston game, the one squashed at 16, will end the festivities Friday night. That's the last game. So 9 o'clock at night, that one will get started. And like I said, the Houston fans will be nice and sauced up and rowdy and ready for that one. We get Clemson against New Mexico, that upset pick that that we both have, actually, for New Mexico. So we get that one. There's an 8-9 that we get, and that is – where is that? Nebraska, Texas A&M.
Okay.
Which we both have Nebraska. And the winner of that will take on Houston on Sunday. And our fourth game is – Baylor Colgate.
Oh, fun. And we both have Baylor right. in that one, so.
That's right.
I looked at that one, but I couldn't do it.
Yeah. But we both got New Mexico knocking them off on Sunday.
So that'll be fun if you get to go and watch one of our upset teams come through for us.
Yeah, not a lot of drama for our picks, though, because we got all four games, we got the same pick, and then we got the same team moving on Sunday.
Yeah. No.
So it'll be fun. It won't be dramatic, but it will be fun.
All right.
And then the baseball, I've been training for that too. I just did that last night doing the online training for that. I don't see I'm being arrogant. I don't see any way I can screw up that gig. We actually have less. You were asking me about this. We have less that we have to cover than I had to cover when I was doing the games for Baseball Info Solutions.
Oh, so you're well trained for this.
Oh, yeah. For those, you had to judge fly balls. You were making fun of the flyner liner, which always tickled you, or the flyner flies. We don't have to do any of that. We don't have to judge the fly balls. We had to judge defensive plays for Baseball Info Solutions. We had to grade them on a scale of 1 to 5, each defensive play.
Okay.
We had to give out good plays. We had to give out at least 4 good plays a game. And we, hang a star on that one. We had to, do that. We don't have to do any of that shit for this. This is just ball, strike, out, keep it up with who's on base, keep it up with the pitch count. It's really straightforward. Now, there's more detailed stuff that a different operation has to keep up with called the stringer. That's not what I'm being brought in for. I'm just being brought in for the ball strike system, which they call BOSS. But like I said, that system actually controls the batter's box for the automated ball system. So that's
okay.
In effect in all the minor league parks that they have a challenge system where it's like tennis where, we want to challenge that call that was a ball because we think it was a strike, and they go to the big screen, and if that ball just barely touched the outside corner, then they call it, we'll reverse that. It's called a strike. So that's going to be fun to see that in action. I haven't seen that live, so I'll definitely be looking forward to that. But it's a really straightforward gig, and I think I'm going to enjoy it very much. I could keep up with that ball strike out, and it's compared to Baseball Info Solutions, it's a piece of cake. It really is. So I'm definitely looking forward to that.
Well, that's good. That's good. I know you're excited to get that gig.
Very, very excited, and it looks like I'm going to get a lot more games than I thought because the guys. On the interview, they were telling me that there's 2 guys that do it already, but they're just bringing me in as a third to sort of fill in for when they can't do it.
Right.
So then I'm texting with the guys themselves, and they're like, actually, we're both in school. We're both I think they're both going for their master's. And they're like, one of the guys is like, look, I got to do 1 game a year to stay on payroll. Other than that, however many games you want to do, go ahead and take it. Go for it. So I'm like, oh, wow, okay. And, considering the salary for it, I'm looking for a lot more games than I thought. So I don't know how many it's going to be. I'm still waiting on them to get back to me as far as the scheduling goes. But all of a sudden, I'm looking at a spring and summer of baseball again, which even without the money, I'm just looking forward to that because I love going to the baseball games.
Yeah, you get out to the ballpark, right? Where do they play?
It's called AutoZone Park. It's right there downtown Memphis, and very beautiful park. I've always loved going there. It's very easily located. You can easily find it once you get off the interstate. And it's actually right there next to FedEx Forum. It's maybe about 4 blocks away from the basketball stadium there.
Oh, okay.
And nice restaurants, nice area, and near Beale Street. So if you're a partier, then you really have a good time. You go from the game right there to Beale Street and have a good time, although you might get shot there, so I don't know if you want to do that.
Maybe not the best idea.
No. It's getting a little sketchy on Beale Street.
All right. That's still the place to go, though.
Oh, yeah. So if you don't have anything else, I guess we'll call it a night.
Yeah, because we're back in a week.
Exactly when are we back next week?
Let me see here. Well, when does baseball starts Thursday, right?
Is that the first game outside of the Korea games?
I believe Thursday is opening day. So that means I could either do Tuesday or Wednesday night next week.
Wednesday I'll be bowling, so I guess it'll have to be Tuesday.
We'll be right back here next Tuesday night.
And then getting ready to go up to Chicago next weekend.
That'll be a blast in itself.
It's always a blast.
The greatest day in sports.
All right. So it looks like we're aiming for next Tuesday, a week from tonight, to do our official baseball preview show. That will not be an hour because we can go on about baseball. So that'll be 2 full hours of baseball talk, and we'll do the last division with 5 minutes to go in the show, because that's how we always do.
Yeah, that's usually how it goes.
All right. He is Jay. I am Dre. This has been Kings of Non Sequitur, the March Madness Preview. Busted Brackets is back. And if you're taking our advice, God bless you. And that's about all I can say about that. We will talk to you next Tuesday for your baseball preview. Talk to you then.